Amen. The rest of you, please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. All right. Book of Daniel. There in your Old Testament, they're one of the major prophets. Just going to look at a verse here and share a few thoughts with you concerning even the subject of Veterans Day, actually, and I'm going to tie in some things from that subject as we look to God's Word this morning. Again, I do want to reiterate my gratitude towards all the volunteers yesterday. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for being available. And thank you, Brother Arthur, for coordinating that. And it was just mission accomplished because we had a good time. We ministered to our community for the glory of God. And we were able to fulfill that by the grace of God. And so just appreciate the opportunity to serve again. Daniel chapter 1. I want to read a familiar verse to many of us here today. Maybe it'll be the first time you read this verse, and I think you'll find it very encouraging. But notice verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Notice that word there at the beginning of verse 8. It says purposed. Purposed in his heart. The context is, under the rule of and authority of King Nebuchadnezzar, since the children of Israel have been taken captivity, now they're under the rule of a tyrant, of a dictator, of a wicked man who has really the power over them. But we have this young man of God who is making a decision in his life that he's not going to do what the king is telling them to do. He is actually resisting, and he is explaining why. Because he did not want to defile himself from that which he had purposed in his heart, that which he had planned in his heart. At some time before this, I would assume that maybe his is a young boy being taught by his parents. Maybe it was a few weeks before this. I don't know. But Daniel had made a purpose, a commitment in his life that he was not going to defile himself with this type of meat and with this wine, which was spoken of here in this context. He wasn't going to do it. You know, if I could draw your attention again to that word purposed, what exactly does that mean? Well, I believe one way of describing this word is the word motto. The word motto. What does the word motto mean? Well, a motto is a sentence, a phrase, or a word inscribed on something as appropriate or indicative of its character or use. Another definition is a short expression of a guiding principle or truth. And I believe, if I could take some liberty with this truth right here, I believe we could say that Daniel had a motto in his life. That he had a purpose not to defile himself with that which God had prohibited. And I believe that we can learn some things about mottos. You know, Daniel was guided by this truth to his very core. And I believe, church, that if we're going to make the right decisions in life, we have to be guided in our from mottos, if you will, from principle and truths from the Word of God that are embedded in our very being. They guide us daily in every decision. I'm going to make this quote a couple times throughout this message. But let me say this. The time to purpose something in your heart is way before the time that you are presented with the opportunity either to obey or disobey. That was by Pastor Matt Morrison. You know, as I think about our military this morning, we honored, you heard the different branches that were called out. And so thankful for our military. You know, each of the branches of the military have a motto. A guiding principle that helps remind them of their duty, responsibility, and goal. And so I want to see here some things this morning. There are some great spiritual applications to each of the military mottos. And I want to take a look at them here together this morning. And then we'll close the service by even looking at some examples of people in the Bible that I believe had a motto for their life. Or at least I can think of what one might be with some of these that we're going to look at in the Bible. But let's begin by looking at some of the branches this morning. Number one, we're going to start with the United States Army. What is the motto of the U.S. Army? It is this. This will defend. What a powerful motto that is. It was first used by the War Office of the Continental Army during the American Revolution in 1778. This motto speaks of the constant readiness to defend and preserve the United States of America. And I think that even as believers, as we think about that motto, you know, I believe we can make some spiritual application to our lives. And this great truth and guiding principle of this will defend. What is it as Christians that we can defend? Well, Jude talks about earnestly contending for the faith. And do you know what Jude was talking about in that context? He was talking about speaking, preaching, and teaching against false doctrine. It was creeping into the local churches. And Jude, the letter was clear that look out. They will creep in unawares. They will come in and be deceitful. And he said, as God's people and as a local church, you have to stand against that. Yeah, I love what even Paul said in Philippians when he was sitting in jail. And you know, there was the context that there was ones that even spoke out against the Apostle Paul for their own advantage in preaching the gospel. But Paul had a really good attitude about that. I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically explained to the church of Philippi that I'm not going to let those folks bother me. I'm not going to let them stop me. But what I am going to do is I'm going to preach the truth. And I will preach against error. I will preach against false teaching. In fact, he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, but the other of love, he says, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. You know, folks, I believe as God's people, we need to be ready to defend, if you will, speak up against the pure gospel. Speak up against a false doctrine, but to speak up for the pure gospel. That's what God wants us to do. This will defend. What a great motto. Do you have that motto as a believer? Do you look around you at the false teaching and things just kind of turn the other cheek, turn the other head, and act as if everything's okay? I believe there ought to be a time where God's people stand up in its appropriate context and give truth. My second one is not only the U.S. Army, but then the United States Marines. The United States Marines' motto is Semper Fi, always faithful. Wow, what a great motto. This was in the context of being faithful to their fellow Marines and to the United States of America. But think about that in the context of a Christian. Isn't that a great motto for a believer? Always faithful. Faithful to each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, and more importantly, faithful to our commander, our Christ, the Anointed One, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a faithfulness to Him. I like 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards. In other words, in managing, God has called us all to be stewards. He says that a man be found faithful, dependable, trustworthy. Again, I want to give that quote because, my friends, if you do not have a guiding truth in your heart that originates from this blessed holy book, your possibilities of falling increase greatly. You got to let the truths of the Word of God get in your heart now and purpose. Set a motto in your life that this is what I'm going to do. Because as the quote says, Brother Morrison said, the time to purpose something in your heart is way before the time that you are presented with the opportunity to either obey or disobey. I think about faithfulness. I think about faithfulness, number one, to God. My life dedicated to Him and making decisions that I'm going to honor Him with my time. I'm going to honor Him with my treasures. I'm going to be faithful to Him with my talents. That's going to be my purpose, my priority in life. I think about my family. I purposed at the altar there on August 4th, 2007. To love my wife until death do us part. I purposed in my heart that commitment there. And I want that commitment to guide me all the days of my life through sickness and health. That's what I want to guide me. I think about my kids. I want to have a purpose in my heart to be faithful to my children. To love them as I should. To spend time with them as I should. To invest in them as I should. To correct them as I should. To train them as I should. I want to be faithful to them. And be the dad that God has called me to be. And as a parent, that is so important. I think about faithfulness to my church. You know, you want to have the heart of, I just want to be faithful to being in God's house. And if you determine now in your heart, church, I want to tell you, if you determine now in your heart, and many of you have, or you wouldn't be here this morning. But if you determine now, I'm telling you, when you get up on those mornings where you're tired, and boy, it sure would feel good to sleep in this morning, it's a lot easier just to go ahead and sleep in if you hadn't already made it a purpose in your heart to say with something like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to church. And you get in a habit of making that a purpose, it won't matter if you're on vacation. You'll be on vacation, whether it's Myrtle Beach or whether it's Alaska or wherever in this world. You could purpose in your heart now. You know you could purpose that I'm going to be where there's a group of believers assembled and we're going to go and worship. Maybe you're away for work. And that Sunday morning, you got an hour free that you could go and join yourself with a group of believers that believe the Bible and hear a message and sing. You know why people do that? It's because sometime in their life, God convicted them and they made a purpose. They made a motto in their life. No matter what, we're going to be in God's house on Sunday. And there needs to be a revival of that. A renewed faithfulness. Always faithful. No excuse. And by the way, talk about being faithful to your kids. Your kids will pick up on that quickly. Then I see also the United States Navy. You know, I found interesting as I was looking at these that the U.S. Navy doesn't have an official motto. It just puts out to the side, they're unavailable. Now, I could crack a joke right there as a Coast Guardsman. All right? They don't have an official motto. Now, they have an unofficial motto, and that is this. There's actually two, but the one that is most common, and it's not Anchors Away, as many would think. That's a part of their song. Yes, taxing. But the fact of the matter is, this is it. Listen, for the U.S. Navy is this. Not self, but country. Not self, but country. A phrase that is inscribed above the chapel doors of the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. This unofficial motto invokes a spirit of sacrifice. Not self, but country. And you think about that truth as we would transfer that over to a spiritual application this morning, and think about how appropriate that is for us to say, not self, but the Savior. Not self, but the Savior. In fact, Mark 8:34 says, and when He called, that's Jesus, when He called the people unto Him, which with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. What a wonderful motto. Do we have that this morning? Not self, but Savior. He's number one. His commands, His word, His will is the priority of my life. That'll help us greatly. I think of also number four, the United States Air Force. The motto of the United States Air Force is aim high, fly, fight, and win. I like that. It conveys the message of always striving for excellence and effectiveness. Never being settled with mediocrity. Never being settled with being stagnant. But looking for a way to grow, looking for a way to improve, looking for a way to mature and to be better for the glory of God. I hope that's our heart this morning. We could make spiritual application to that very easily, could we not? Are you aiming high this morning? The old adage says, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. I hope we're aiming high this morning. I hope in our hearts we're desiring to be in church more. I hope we're desiring to read our Bibles more. I hope we're desiring and purposing to pray more. I hope that we are desiring to be better husbands, men of God. I hope my sisters in Christ here who are wives here and married, I hope you're desiring to be a better wife to your husband and a better mother to your children. And you, husbands being better dads. And if you're single here this morning, I hope that God is helping you to be whatever subject you're currently ministering in as a sibling, as an employee, or as an employer. I hope that you as an individual are seeking to grow wherever God has planted you, whatever context He's put you in. Aim high. Fly, fight, and win. You know, Paul had that mentality. He said, I press, that word press, it carries the idea of striving, reaching. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I hope you've set some goals in your life. I hope you've set some purpose in your life. I hope we as a church will strive to grow. Strive to do more than we've ever done before. In the coming year, I got some things I'm just super excited to share with you about what I believe God is doing in our church to take us to the next level of effectiveness for the gospel's sake. To move us forward in our impact in this community. Because church, we cannot stay in any form, in any way of being stagnant. We got to move forward. And I believe if we'll have the motto that Paul had, and even as the people of the Air Force have in their context of that branch of the military, but we as believers doing it in the name of Jesus and for His sake and for His glory. But then, fifthly, we have the United States Coast Guard. Amen. I heard that. Ken and Lauren, their son is serving as an officer in the Coast Guard. Riley. Thank God for him. But the U.S. Coast Guard's motto is this: always ready. Always ready. On call 365 days a year to protect the waterways and people of the United States. This motto speaks of constant readiness. Vigilant. Watchful. Prepared at any moment. Think about the spiritual application of this motto. The Bible speaks so much of us being ready at all times in several ways, but one that comes to mind is 1 Peter 3:15, where we are to be ready always to give an answer. What is the context of that? God says, Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. I mean, set Him apart in your hearts. There's that core truth. I have set myself apart for God and God alone. It says, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you know what that's saying, church? Every person in this room should always be ready and looking for an opportunity to share the reason of the gospel, of the hope of the gospel in your own life. The hope that you have. The hope that I have. Are you ready to give an answer to those around us? They're searching. They're looking. I was looking over at the Fall Festival yesterday and had so many folks from the community, and I saw members talking with them, and I even heard later there were some opportunities to share the gospel. That's what we're ready to do. I mean, here's the truth. If you're a believer, and I know this may terrify some of you, but you would fit the mold because it says that you ought to be ready to do it with meekness and fear. I just thought about that. Do you know that it's perfectly appropriate and reasonable to give your testimony with fear? Think about that. You're not some professional orator, but you're ready to tell people how you know God saved you and the hope of heaven you have through the cross of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, I'm not going to do this to anybody, so I want to let you to take a deep breath before I even say this, all right? But truly, I ought to be able to call on anybody here that is a Christian, that knows that you have been born again. I ought to be able, no matter the age group, I ought to be able to call on you and say, would you share your testimony? Would you, and even if you didn't, if I didn't ask you to do it in front of everybody, maybe I asked you to do it with someone that came forward in an invitation or somebody that's visiting our church and says they're looking for it. Hey, I should be able to point at any of you that name the name of Christ and say, can you go with this individual and share with them the reason you have hope in your heart? Ready. I'll be ready. I hope we are. Not only are we ready to share the hope that's in our heart, but another way that is very obvious in Scripture that we say we're ready is we're ready to meet God. Hey, I say laughing because I got the joy of the Lord right here. Amen. I'm glad I know if this, when I take my last breath to be absent from the body, I'm going to be present with Jesus. I'm thankful for that. And so I know I'm ready to meet God if I were to die today. And I hope that you know that. I hope you are ready to meet God because you've been saved. You've been born again. And you say, I don't know if I have. Well, I want to tell you, you're not ready to meet God. Because even when God said it to Amos in chapter 4, verse 12, He said, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. He said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. He was talking about to the nation that was rebelling against Him. Prepare. And if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, you are ready to meet God because of your salvation. But then secondly, I want to be ready to meet God as a Christian. Such a convicting thought here in my own life. There's only two ways to leave this world, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? It's either going to be physical death, or it will be during the rapture when Jesus Christ comes and we will go up alive. It's only two ways. And whichever one it is, God may call me out of here before the rapture takes place. He may call me and I may die here while on earth. But either way, I want to be ready to meet God. And yes, I know I'm saved, but then I want to be ready to meet Him because I have served Him. And how do we get ready to do that, church? We do it now. We purpose in our heart that today and for the rest of our lives, we are going to serve Christ. No excuses. There will be times of weakness and failure. Of course, we all know that, but we don't settle for that. We get back up and we are ready to serve the Lord every day. Folks, I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, next week I was going to make that decision. Lord, I know You were dealing with me about that, and I had every intention next year I was going to do it. We don't want to have that testimony. When we stand before God, our holy, righteous, and wonderful Savior, yes, there will be some things that we could have done better. But when we stand before the Lord, we can say, Lord, as much as I knew how, I was ready to serve You that day. I was ready to give myself for You in whatever way You saw fit. And I wasn't planning on making a spiritual commitment later on in my life. As much as I knew how, I was making it today. I made it a while back, and it has governed me. It has guided me. And that, my friends, is what we want. We want to be looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that word looking carries the idea of expecting confidently, not with shame. And it's not one of those weird looking neither where you're looking up in the sky and you're having wrecks in your car and you're bumping into people because you're always looking up. It's not that kind of looking for the coming of the Lord, okay? But do you know what it is? You know what it is? It's just going through life, doing what He's called you to do in your profession, your occupation, where you're at in your family, being faithful to that. That is expecting the Lord's coming. Because what is that speaking of? By you being faithful, that's expressing that you're expecting the Lord to come. And you want to be found that way. I want to be found that way. But then, notice with me, lastly, but not least, you were saying, I thought there were only five branches. Well, now there's six. The United States Space Force. I don't know much about the Space Force, but I do know this. They have a motto. And that motto is this: always above. Always above. The word always was chosen because just as space is unending in time and depth, so too is the Space Force's commitment to uncompromisingly protect and monitor space and U.S. satellites. The word above was chosen to be symbolic of both the act of looking up and wondering what is beyond in space, as well as the Space Force's value of excellence. And I want to tell you this motto right here. When we make spiritual applications, should remind us this. They say above all. They say always above. I want to tell you, we can say as believers, our God is always above. He's always higher than any. He is the one that is in complete control. He is the sovereign God who looks over His children. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 6 says this: one God and Father of all, who is above all. and through all and in you all. You see, today as a believer, I can know with confidence, no matter what comes through the political realm, no matter what comes into my life as far as health is concerned, my occupation is concerned, no matter what is going on in your life, my friends, we can have a motto that says, God is always above. And He's always caring. He's always looking. He's always interested. He's always working. God is above all. Always above. My friends, that ought to be comforting to you. You say, are we supposed to adapt these mottos into our lives? You certainly can if you wanted to, with the spiritual application. What about some people in the Bible that made great decisions for Christ, who were, yes, sinners that were saved by grace? Yes, they made mistakes like we all do, but they still had a motto in their life, a purpose in their life that guided them. And I'll tell you this, I've sort of guessed on some of these. I've sort of given an approximate maybe of what their motto might be based on the things that God brought them through and the things that God taught them. Let me just share a few with you. Well, we'll start with Daniel since we started in with him. If Daniel had a motto, I would guess that it would be this: God's way is always better. Because you think about it, he was put in a rock and a hard place, really. He's like, okay, you're going to either lose your life or you're going to eat this meat and drink this wine. And basically Daniel said, well, hey, listen, I'm not going to defile myself. And what did he say? God blessed him more than all the others that had been eating the meat and drinking the wine. God's way is better. What about David, a man after God's own heart? What may have David's motto been? Well, my guess would be, and there could be many more to these characters. I'm not saying I have the only one or know exactly what it is, but if I had to take a guess, I would say maybe it was this. Is there not a cause? David was a man who was about representing the God of heaven. And he made mistakes. He sinned. But he got right with God. And he knew that there was a cause. A cause to make God known to a lost world. What about Joseph? Joseph in the Old Testament. You know what I think about Joseph? I think about this is maybe a motto of his life. As much as he went through and he was innocent in many ways, you know what I think it might have been? God means it for good. What a motto to have. God means it for good. No matter what happened to me this week, God's going to use it for good. What about Abraham? Abraham, who was called out of his home of Ur and to go, the Ur of Chaldees, and go to the land of Canaan. And he allowed faith to govern him. He says, by faith I go. That was his motto, I believe. By faith I go. Maybe Moses' motto could have been, who led the children of Israel to the land of promise. Many, many years of wilderness journeys. Many, many years of them rebelling against God and Him working with them and teaching them and writing the Pentateuch. You know what I believe that His motto could be? This: God will always guide us. God will always guide us. What about Joshua? I mentioned it earlier. Maybe it could have been, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about Job? Job, I believe, could have very well been the trials that he went through, the persecution from his own friends and the attack of Satan. What could have Job's motto been? I will trust Him no matter what. I will trust Him no matter what. Listen, it's hard for the devil to get a seed planted into your heart when you go through life saying that very thing. No matter what, I will trust Him. You will find it hard for the devil to plant that seed of anxiety and worry when you say, no matter what, I will trust in Him. What about John the Baptist? What do you think John the Baptist's motto could have been? I believe it could have been this: He must increase, I must decrease. What a great motto to have in life. Jesus must increase in my life, I must decrease. I think about Paul. Could have named many. One could have been, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What about Jesus, the Son of God Himself? If Jesus would have had a motto, what would have been? I'm sure there's many that we could say that guided his heart. But one that stood out to me that I see consistent through the Gospels and something that he always brought the disciples' attention to and even the Pharisees was this. I seek not mine own will, but him that sent me. Consistently, Jesus spoke that I have come to do the Father's will. And that's what guided him all the way to Calvary and even to the Garden of Gethsemane where he cried out, nevertheless, Lord, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. What a wonderful truth to be your motto, to my motto. It also could have been, Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save them which are lost. Our church even has a motto. Did you know that we had a motto? Maybe you've seen it on some of our literature. But the motto of our church is grounded in truth, growing in grace, going in love. Grounded in truth because it is the local church that is the ground and pillar of the truth. We believe this is where the Word of God and truth is preached and taught, and we are commanded to guard the truth here, to protect it from error. We're grounded in truth. That's why we can have a foundation and stability. We don't compromise truth just for the sake of numbers. We teach and preach by God's grace the whole counsel of God. I think about also growing in grace. We talked about that last week in our message. Growing up. We're all growing spiritually. And may God help us never to forget that. Growing in grace as a church. We're all growing in our walk with the Lord. But then we're going in love. We're moving forward. We're being active. We're letting our feet be evident of our heart. Sympathy is no substitute for action. We go forth in love. And those guiding principles or truths there, that's what we want it to do, to guide us as a church. So in closing, can I ask you, what is your motto? Do you personally have a motto for your life? You're saying, that's kind of weird, isn't it, Pastor? No! It's not weird at all! It's fact in saying you are desiring to have purpose in your life. It could be all for God. It could be to the glory of God. You make it what you will. You can adapt ones from the Word of God that you see clearly. But whatever it is, would you get one? Would you write it down? Maybe there will be several. But let them guide your life into a life of obedience and surrender and faith to the Lord, and it will protect you. Again, with the closing quote, Matt Morrison, the time to purpose something in your heart is way before the time that you are presented with the opportunity either to obey or disobey. Because let's be honest right here. When it comes to being in the heat of the moment of the temptation that comes our way through the world, through the devil, and through our own lust, if we have waited until that point to make our decision of obedience or disobedience, it is likely, more likely, let me say, that we will disobey. But I implore you and beg you, church, if you make your decision now, the motto that's going to guide your life by the grace of God. And it's not some magic words. I'm not saying it is. But it will improve the likelihood of you obeying the Lord if you truly, sincerely mean it. That you will purpose in your heart to not defile yourself, but to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that some of these have been a help to you. I trust that as we look at our military and how thankful we are, and as we even look at their mottos, I pray that it will inspire us to be more faithful to our God and Savior. Because they definitely have a spiritual foundation and truth to each of them. Would you pray with me?